Good morning, Power Hour Nation. So good to be with you. I am your honored host, Daniel Brigman. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour radio show, thepowerhour.com, thepowermall.com, our two websites, and so glad that you're taking time out to be with us. Uncle Kevin, unfortunately, had a kidney stone, literally, yesterday, or this evening, or the middle of the night, anyway, so he's not going to make it. So please send out some prayers, invoke some blessings on Uncle Kevin to deal with what he's got going on. We're going to do news. We got a couple, one guest that we never had on, Seth Dreyer. He is from createdequal.org. And what is Created Equal? Well, you'll find out if you stick around about 30 minutes. He's fighting for life. So it's a pro-life organization and what they're doing and how they're doing it. It's pretty interesting. We'll have a short interview with him. And then John Willard, of course, he's the descendant of Old Man Willard, who his grandfather, who invented Willard Water. If you are a new listener and you've never heard this story, it's crazy. It's a crazy story. You just have to hear the story about Congress, about milk, about farmers, about it's a crazy story. If you have heard him before and heard him several times, then we're going to talk about specifically dilutions for houseplants. It's gardening season come up, those kind of things, and you're going to want to hear about that. If you've never heard the John Willard, the Willard Water story, it's one of the coolest stories of any product we've ever had. You're going to want to hear it. So that and more. We'll get to news. And anything that's on your mind first half hour, it's just me here by myself, 844-769-2944, 844-769-2944. Give us a holler. I would like to know what you think about this virus. I'm sitting here speculating. Me and Uncle Kevin, or Uncle Kevin and I, speculate, and our guests, we ask them different things. I want to know what you think. Please tell me your opinion. Give us a call, 844-769-2944. If you're sitting there listening right now, yes, I'm talking to you. Give me a call. Give us a call. Let's hear your opinion. We'd like to make some sense of this. But anyway, got a email from Karen. She says she got an intel from a friend of hers. Just got a call from brother who lives in Washington and works in Kirkwood. If you know Washington, that's where one of the case where the guy died of coronavirus, or supposedly, where the man with the virus died. Another man did as well. My brother told me three more died today. We didn't hear that. He is the director of a senior citizen home, and they're thinking of shutting up the whole home. Several public schools are now closed. So just a little entree into what's going on. Is this the beginning of something bigger? My contacts are telling me it is. I don't know, but it certainly looks like we need to be concerned about it. Todd, the board operator, he told me don't worry about it at all, because when has anything made in China ever lasted? When's the last time you bought a toaster from China and it actually lasted? I thought, wow, that's pretty funny. But that's so true. It's made in China. Don't worry. It won't last very long. In 3 months, you'll want to take it back to Walmart and get a new one. I'm just kidding. Anyway, we'll do news, and then we'll get to Mr. Dreyer from Created Equal and John Willard. U.S. starts Afghanistan withdrawal from Voice of America. Now, we've been teased with this for what now? Really, since the beginning of the inauguration of Trump. Is this really going to happen? I don't know. It sure seems like it. Or is this just another, you know, jerk in our chain? Defense Secretary Mark Esper says the United States will begin a partial withdrawal down to 8,600 troops in Afghanistan in coming days as the Taliban and U.S. issued conflicting messages about future violence in war-torn nation. Speaking at a Pentagon news conference, Esper said that the newly inked agreement between us and the Taliban, which is kind of ironic to begin with, requires the U.S. military to start withdrawing forces within 10 days of its signing. So 10 days of the end of last month. So that means the 10th of this month. This is a conditions-based agreement. We're watching the Taliban's actions closely to assess whether they're upholding their commitments. When I hear that sentence, it makes me nervous. Because what does it take for some operative or some provocateur to just bomb something or send a grenade off in some market and say, oh, look, we can't withdraw. Taliban is not following what they said. I don't know. Is this a good sign? I guess it's a good sign they're talking. I guess it's a good sign that we say we're going to withdraw. So there you go. Be aware of that. Supposed to start withdrawing. As per the agreement, our Muajin will not attack foreign forces, but our operations will continue against the Cabal administration forces. That's a Taliban spokesman, what they said. The commander on the ground, which is U.S. General Austin Scott Miller, has the authority to reduce forces numbers to about 8,600 from the current total of nearly 13,000. So it's about, what, 40% reduction. Will withdraw 20 to 30% will withdraw at this time, according to a senior defense official. U.S. President Donald Trump said the U.S. was going to be leaving and bringing our soldiers back home. If only. This is a fantastic story. This is very good news. If this is true, we actually pull out of here. I'm very excited, I'm sure, as most of you are. What in the world are we doing in Afghanistan besides guarding poppy fields? I would like to know. Greek army police dig in along Turkey border after migrant clashes. Yesterday, we talked a pretty good detail about Turkey, Erdogan in Turkey, the president of Turkey, who says he's got 3.5 million, close to, migrants, immigrants from Africa or all over, who he's ready to let flood into Europe. The gateway from Turkey into the rest of Europe, for the most part, is Greece. Greece has a population of about 10 million, a little over, almost 11. 3 million people coming through there. Greece didn't take the message so lightheartedly as maybe he gave it, as how welcoming as he gave it. He is the Greece. Not only did they one incident fight off the UN quote unquote peacekeeping soldiers and burn the migrant center to the ground, but now soldiers actually shot on one of the immigrants, refugees, invaders. Choose your word of choice, coming across the border where the Constantine wire, they got through and got shot. What is going to happen there? I do not know, but it certainly is worth paying attention. Greek troops and riot police remained on high alert. Yeah, you think? Along the land border between Greece and Turkey, the main flashpoint in an escalating row between the EU and Ankara over how to deal with a new wave of migrants and refugees. We mean how to deal with them. Some tent that, turn them around. I don't know, put, Turkey's got a lot of land, build these tent cities like Sheriff Joe. Some 10,000 migrants have been trying to breach the border since Turkey said last Thursday it would no longer uphold a 2016 accord with the European Union to keep refugees on its territory in return for billions of euros in aid. So now they have to be bribed to keep the immigrants in their own country? This is such a mess. Greek authority. Now imagine in Africa, you got the locusts, you got everything going on there in Africa. Not only the war, but now you got, how many refugees are we going to have now? I mean, where are they going to go? Of course, I don't want to call people locusts, but they have nothing. They're going to seek the point of least resistance, the point of food, just like these locusts are. Where are they going to go? They're going to go right up to Europe. And if some NGO, George Soros NGO, will put them on a plane and in a boat or whatever, they'll go all the way to the United States. Why wouldn't they? This kind of disruption, this kind of uncertainty, and kind of instability, I don't care what you think about refugees, immigrants, I don't care what you think. It's not good for the rest of the world that is semi-stable. You're going to create instability everywhere. Do they have the opinion that by letting all these migrants in, everybody's going to suddenly be stable? I mean, is that what's going through their head? We know different. You know, there's obviously a plan here to change the culture, change everything, the landscape of Europe. We've seen that. What else is there? I mean, logic tells you this is retarded. I'll use that word. It's retarded. So it must be something else. They're not this dumb. France shuts dozens of schools in area hit by coronavirus. This is happening. You're going to see it in America. It's starting to happen. Again, I am more scared of what the reaction will be than the actual virus itself. I mean, I'm loaded up on oregano. I'm loaded up on oregano. I do need some more oregano. I said that I got to get some more. I do have some though. I got things like that, colloidal silver, what have you. We're pretty careful at our house. I think we're going to be fine as far as virus is concerned. I'm real concerned about things like closures, restrictions. I've even heard reports, people told me that look for the postal system to be shut down. Look for that. That's a possible situation. Coronavirus cases explode in Iran. I mean, how ironic is that? Iran, of all the cases, from China to Iran, China to Italy. We've seen now France. Why Iran? Is there some shuttle from between China and Iran we don't know about that the cases got there, or were these planted, or what? According to the latest data collected, 835 new cases of infection, 11 fatal in total, taking into account this data, the number of infections has increased to 2,300. Still very low. You know, I'm waiting for the moment when on news they flash that, oh, there's not 300 cases of coronavirus in America. There's 30,000. Oh, we were wrong. And then a couple weeks later, it'll be, oh, there's 3 million. I'm waiting for that. Are we going to see it? I don't know. New York emergency room doctor. There will be thousands of confirmed cases in the U.S. by next week. Okay, that's what he says, too. Michael Snyder writes about this. Michael Snyder always looking on the bright side. We haven't had him on, Catherine. We got to get him back on. Love to talk to Michael. Dr. Matt McCarthy, a staff physician at New York Presbyterian Hospital, just went on national television and warned that there will be thousands of confirmed coronavirus cases inside the United States by next week. Oh, well, there you go. He agrees with what I just said. And as you will see below, he says that he has had to plead to test people. And that is a national scandal that more people have not been tested. Well, there's a thing called the Bill of Rights. You can't force people to be, how can you force people to be tested? Now, you can force them if you're coming across the border. You can force people on a plane that are going to come back into America. You sure can force them to be tested. As I discussed in a previous article, up until just a few days ago, the CDC has had extremely restrictive guidelines for who should be tested for the virus. Why is that, I wonder? Why is that? I mean, I guess you can ask people. I don't know. Only those that have visited China recently and those that have had close contact with a known victim were supposed to be tested. Okay, then why didn't they test everybody coming on the planes from China for all that time? This is like coming from the Congo with Ebola. Are you kidding me? The U.S. announced its first coronavirus case on the same day South Korea did, but 6 weeks later, less than 500 potentially infected Americans have gotten tests, according to Centers for Disease Control. All right. U.S. had tested 3,600. So 3,000 people have been tested. That's it. Well, that's why the numbers are so low. They've only tested 3,600 people. Of course, we only have 500 cases or whatever. You know, I don't know what the number is, and the numbers change. It can't be accurate. Community spread could lead to more virus cases. So, see, if you have a community and you're all together and you're in the community, oh, we can't have that because virus cases are going to spread. Chris Matthews is out as at MSNBC. Did you hear this? For supposedly harassing somebody he interviewed. He's 74 years old. I didn't know that. He looks pretty good for his age. He was officially canceled yesterday. And that's it. Laura Bassett is the one who claimed, Matthew said to her, "Why haven't I fallen in love with you yet? Keep putting makeup on her. I'll fall in love with her." So that's a comment he made. So that's why he got fired? I'm not saying that's appropriate or whatever, but that you're going to fire him for that? Okay. All right. We got a caller, Dave in New York. Dave in New York, you're live on the air. What's on your mind, sir?
How you doing, Daniel?
Yeah, hey, I'm doing
sorry
good.
About your uncle.
Yeah.
Maybe he should drink more. He should drink more Bragg's vinegar or something. Doesn't that kind of like cut down on the stones or break them up or dissolve them? I'm not sure.
Let me tell you what his problem is. I'll tell him. I'll tattletale on him. His problem is he drinks soda like crazy. He's addicted to soda. And I've tried to tell him, not tell him, but you know what I mean. I said, for the love of God, it's the soda. And so it ends up, the phosphoric acid and all that ends up, whatever. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Let me just, I've mentioned this a long time ago or whatever, and this is not a capital I. I'm a lowercase I in this stories or whatever. But I tested against 15,000 people in New York State, and was within a top 1.5% of observational skills. And I see things, and you know what I mean, they stand out. Now, back before this even started, they had TV commercials out there, and they weren't long, but they showed somebody like in a their own bunker, if you will, and this girl's there, and the guy had the wrong brand of peanut butter, and she goes, "I can't live like this," and she left him, you know, to go on. But they were taunting you back then with that. They knew ahead of time that this sort of thing was going to come along.
It certainly seems like
you know,
it.
I keep mentioning it. I keep mentioning, you know, Steve Quayle, but I've been following him ever since he was the hot item back when he first came on. And I mean, that was, you got to listen to him. It was something else. And I remember back in that day that the police or whatever, you know, now think about back in the mid 1990s, early 1990s, and Steve telling people what was going to happen and all, and he was getting into Safe Trek food and all sorts of things, you know, that you could be able to take care of yourself with. And you know what the police told him? "We don't believe your BS, okay? But if anything does happen, guess who's coming to your place and take it all? The police were going to do it." You know? And that's, you know, that's how the world
they, you know, people have a funny sense. People have a funny sense of their. I don't know. Dealing with people in the public, it's really, you know. I don't know. It's odd sometimes. Anyway, go ahead, Dave. We got it.
Yeah. Well, so when they show a little zombie apocalypse and all sort of stuff, I mean, that's, you know, obviously knowing how people are going to react, and you know, if they know you got it, and you know, blah blah blah, then you're going to be put upon by such people.
Well, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you, how should I phrase this? How serious is the virus itself? Do you think this is, because I've been doing some research on 1918, these viruses that go around, they could mutate, whatever. I don't know. How serious are you taking the virus itself?
Well, you know, the day before, I mentioned the, you know, nitrile gloves or whatever, you know what I mean, the type of gloves I'm talking about. And I was thinking at that point in time also, and I didn't mention it, but you have silver gel there, okay? Well, that would also lubricate the inside of the glove, keep the inside of the glove good, okay? And however you clean it off on the outside when you got back home, that's not that hard of a thing to do. But that would also make that glove last longer if you had, you know, the silver lubricant in there, aside from its obvious antibacterial properties, if you will. As far as what's coming, I remember now, and whether it was on your program or whatever, but the people that survived the plague, the ones that worked in the spice factories didn't get hurt, remember? So you
get
your clove and all your, I mean, that's just common sense. I'm not going to get all twisted. You know, you have to look up the full armor of God or the whole armor of God. And you know what? When you see literally reality changing in front of your eyes, I go to my Franklin Bible now, you know, the electronic one, and it doesn't tell me the truth unless I get the exact wording down. If you were close, it would, you know, put you in like three different directions to the front. It doesn't even do that anymore. So obviously that, I've owned that thing for 30 years. You know, it used to work, and it didn't, you know, change the words in the Bible. You know, you have to realize that there is something going on here because, you know, things that, you know, that used to be real aren't real anymore. Well, they are to me. And, you know, your soul is at stake. And my soul is priceless. I would hang on to my soul like a pit bull on a teacup chihuahua. Okay? You know,
all right, we got to leave it at that.
Cold right now.
We got to leave it at the teacup chihuahua. Thank you so much for your call. I got to do a little bit of news, and then we got break. Hey, stay safe, my friend. Thanks for calling in, buddy. Amy Klobuchar, the Democrat from Minnesota, and then Pete, you know, 10 Cent Pete, they both dropped out, and of course they endorsed Joe. As soon as I saw that he was going to drop out, I'm like, oh, they're trying to stop Sanders. So they're going to coagulate all the support behind Biden or whoever. So it looks like it's going to be Biden. Kids may be secret carriers, meaning of this virus. What do you mean secret? What does that mean? The deadly coronavirus may be impossible to contain. The kids may be secret carriers of the disease. Kids are go to school. It's like a petri dish. Of course kids are carriers of disease or flu or cold or whatever. We think it would be very difficult, if not impossible, to contain it, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't try. Does that mean stop? Okay, don't let them go to school. And this may be the biggest blessing, is that, you know, the kids in California aren't going to go listen. You have 4 and 5 year olds learn about their gender fluidity and other assorted details. Maybe this is a blessing for the virus. Maybe we should be welcoming this. The school's shut down, so our kids aren't exposed to this crap. Coronavirus dealing heavy blow to airlines. This is a very interesting part of this that, you know, people are talking about, but really, ladies and gentlemen, supply chains are going to break because so much is coming from China or has come from China. Well, they're not producing anything anymore. It's only a matter of time. Businesses are shutting down like this. Airlines are stopping certain flights. Of course, people aren't flying near as much. There's certain, was it 90% reduction to Hong Kong? You know, the three financial centers of the world, New York, London, and Shanghai, Hong Kong, Hong Kong, Shanghai. Those are the three financial centers in the world. Hong Kong has about 90% of their visitors down right now. I think it's 95% actually, down. Can you imagine that to New York and what that would do to the economy, what that would do for New York as far as tourism and everything? Well, that's what's going on. So, you know, pay attention to this as we go forward. Top central banks primed to act on coronavirus risk. What does that mean? The bank's going to risk? They're going to burn all the money like they did in China? Whew. Boy, you want to see silver and gold skyrocket. Wait till they start burning pallets of money. The world's top three central banks look to take steps to limit the economic damage from the fast-spreading coronavirus. They're going to print more money. We stand ready to take appropriate and targeted measures as necessary. What do you mean as necessary? You're just going to print more money? I mean, what else are you going to do? Because there's not, because the commerce is not going to flow. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. Seth Dreyer on the other side.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops. Hi, Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores are love to eat. Yum!
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Welcome back to the Power Hour. Our first guest today is new to the show. We're really excited to talk to him. His name is Seth Dreyer. He is from Created Equal. CreatedEqual.org is the website, and you're going to learn a little bit about that. But basically, they're changing the discussion or trying to turn the discussion about abortion and try to help people be more aware of what abortion really is and to turn this issue. So, Seth, welcome to the Power Hour.
Thank you so much, Daniel. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, pleasure to have you. Tell us a little bit. My friend Gary, or I guess I was hooked up a friend of a friend. I don't know. Somehow we got hooked up. So thank you to Gary for bringing you on. Tell us what Created Equal is.
Yeah, so Created Equal is a pro-life organization committed to two things, education and outreach. We believe that it's very important for us, for those of us who are pro-life, to know how to communicate our case. It's really very simple. It is wrong to intentionally kill innocent humans. That's what abortion does, and so abortion is wrong. That's a case most Americans should be able to agree with. We oppose school shootings and many injustices because we know it's wrong to purposefully kill innocent humans, and that's exactly what abortion does. So our mission is to bring students, high school, college students together, train them in how to communicate that case with the general public, and then take them out. The second part is outreach. We don't want to just tell pro-life people how to communicate. We want to create situations to put them out where they're going to use that case to reach hearts, change minds, so that abortion, even while it remains legal, it would become unthinkable to people as we change their opinions one by one and on a larger scale, too. So actually, right now, we're doing that right now as I talk to you. We're at the University of Central Florida in Orlando, Florida. I have a team of 50 students here. We're on the campus, spread across the campus, creating conversations, seeing people's minds change, and we are, as you said, trying to shift the cultural dialogue to one that has objective reasoning, good morals, and we are seeing people change, and every day babies are being rescued.
What is the resistance? Because I don't think anybody say, well, we don't want innocent life killed. I don't think anybody agrees with that. So what is the resistance in this discussion?
Well, so here's this interesting. Yesterday, we were at University of North Florida, and this is what we call the Justice Ride, Create Equal's premier project, bringing students together, training them, leading outreach. And I was with our team yesterday engaging an open microphone, which is when I have a microphone, my colleague Evangeline has one. Anyone walking by can ask a question, say what they think about us, and we engage in the dialogue with amplified sound. And a couple people said, I agree they're humans. You are right. It's clear. Scientifically, they are humans, but they are not persons. And that is one of the biggest hang-ups. people recognize that we are all human, yet some of us, they say, do not count, should not have rights. That is not a new debate. In America, that same idea fueled human slavery, where African Americans were not seen as quote-unquote full persons. The same idea is present today in our debate. People recognize, yes, they're humans, but say we can strip them of their personhood and kill them.
That's interesting you use the word person. The most, and I've said this on the show, if you're a long-time listener, you know, what is the most evil thing I have ever heard a politician say in public? Ever. Ever.
Mm.
Ever. The most evil thing I've ever heard a politician say is Mitt Romney when he said, corporations are people too. So this idea, just like you're saying, Seth, if a corporation is a people, is a person, you know, now the United Nations says lakes and rivers are persons under the law.
Right.
So they're creating this illusion. They're remaking mankind in the image of the corporate structure, of the government structure. This is the most evil thing I've ever heard. And maybe at first glance, you don't see that or don't agree with me, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know. But as you have this discussion right here, you can see what Seth's saying. They are telling Seth, this is very interesting, that, well, they may be human, but they're not persons. They're not people. And so that.
Exactly.
Wow. Expound on that. What are the other reactions that you get in these circumstances?
So there's certainly a variety. I think one of the most powerful things are, so Create Equal is also committed to settling the facts of the abortion debate. I have engaged in countless conversations over about a decade of doing full-time pro-life work. And I find that if I'm just talking with someone, it's my words against their words. We lack an objective basis for the dialogue.
So like what? Let me stop you right there. Like what? Sure. What would be, give me an instance of that.
So like I will say, for those who may not agree that the fetus is a human, I'll say clearly scientific evidence shows the embryo is a human. And they say, well, that's not true. It's just a clump of cells. So we have this back and forth. I say this, you say that. So that's why we find that a visual, objective marker of what we're talking about is helpful. So all of our students today are standing by pictures, signs of either babies growing in the womb or babies who've been killed by abortion. And that does create quite a reaction because people who have this view that abortion is morally okay, they see a picture of a baby who's been dismembered, and suddenly they have this conflict in their minds. They recognize what they see as evil. Their political view says, no, it's okay, and they're working through this. So that's why our students are so important to help them answer their questions and walk them through all of their objections to eventually bring them to the pro-life position.
Now, I've seen our friend Gary, our mutual friend Gary, he sent me some of those pictures, and I'll be honest with you. I mean, they're shocking. They're hard to look at.
Yeah,
and
when
you see this, and it, you know, I can see where it would make you kind of shock your sense, you know, I don't know, kind of shake you up a little bit. I agree with you, and it's shocking to me. I don't even like to look at it. But for somebody who comes from the other side, walk us through, what do they look, I mean, do they like spontaneously combust? Do they, I mean, what goes on in their head?
I think it's helpful for you and me and anyone else who is opposed to abortion to remember other times we've seen shocking photos and how we walk through it. I remember being in middle school and seeing ugly, horrible, disgusting photos from the Holocaust. And as I saw those, I filtered what I was processing through my worldview. I saw humans who had been killed because of their nationality, their faith, and I was disgusted by it because I recognized some things are wrong, some choices are wrong, and the choice to kill someone who is Jewish because he is Jewish, it's clearly wrong. So it made sense in my worldview. Now imagine you're someone who rejects the objective moral law that God has given. You think all choices are okay, and that's what many people who support abortion say, all choices are valid. Then you see this picture of a dead baby, it's hard to make sense of it. Your heart tells you, your conscience tells you that is immoral. Again, your worldview says, but no, there are no morals. And some of them are really struck and stand there and think, I don't know what to think. Like, this bothers me, but I don't know why it bothers me. We try to help them. But others, I mean, I'll be honest, Daniel, some people see these pictures and they become very angry because they're confronting, again, the reality of what they've supported.
Angry
and other
at what?
People,
angry at you or what?
Yes, angry at us. And this is one of the most damaging things, I think. Angry at us and saying, we should not have the right to be here. That this does not belong on a college campus that even free speech itself ought to be restricted on a college campus. Now, those who know history in America and the importance of free speech on college campuses know how shocking that is, but there's a movement in America to restrict speech that is unpopular, to make college campuses safe and comfortable, and that is dangerous.
You know, the one of the ideas of the founders, why free speech was so important, they
yes.
believed if this debate of ideas, if this cauldron of ideas was always permitted, that, excuse me, they believed that Americans would have the ability then to decipher the truth out of it. But when the speech was restricted, and you're only seeing one view, you're seeing Google, Facebook, whatever, now you're seeing campuses. Well, if you don't hear one side of the debate, then how in the world can you ever really come to the whole spectrum of truth if it's limited in such a way?
Absolutely.
That was really important to the founders, that you have the opportunity to pursue the pursuit of happiness. You have the responsibility and the ability to then make these decisions for yourself. I want to talk about choice, because this word choice. Are you familiar with Dr. Bernard Nathanson? Do you know who he
is? Yes, certainly.
Okay, well, the book, we had Terry Beatley on in the book, What If We've Been Wrong, where he basically flipped after he saw the ultrasound of the baby, and he knew, oh, wow, this is really a baby. This is really a life. He discussed how they planned and they used PR firms to specifically this word choice and to attack women's sensibilities and to separate Catholics and blah, 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 and on and on, and how it was so strategic. What is your strategy going forward to then combat that kind of aspect of it?
One thing I find very interesting is trying to flip a bit on its head. Those who support abortion and rally behind choice, their idea is autonomy, that humans are free to do what they want, their rights ought to be respected, their choices should be protected. The very interesting thing is that they are limiting that, though, only to a certain group, only to women who are born. Men don't have the choice to kill their children, and I agree they should not, but this shows how their side is actually hypocritical. They want to give women the right to choose to kill their child, but not men, only women. And secondly, if we are not going to be science deniers, we have to recognize a woman who is pregnant has another human being inside of her. So if our goal is choice of all humans, autonomy of all humans, freedom of all humans, there must be autonomy for that baby as well. So their banner of choice needs to be expanded to everyone. All humans ought to have autonomy and respect. But secondly, it's also important to remind people that the autonomy choices are limited. Some choices are wrong. You have a right to swing your arm, but not to swing your arm and hit someone else. When you hurt someone else with your body, you have made a wrong choice. Men should not sexually violate other people. Same with women. No one should force themselves on someone else. Some choices are clearly wrong. Those are some initial thoughts I try to give to people to show them that choice is not all that matters. Choice is important, but it's not everything.
One of the most damning things that has occurred in our culture, and this goes back to the 60s, and right before abortion was legalized in America, this totally, 100% had a major impact, this quote-unquote sexual revolution. We have taken procreation, the act of procreation, and we have separated it from babies. You know, it's like it's two separate things. And so when I just not laugh, I don't know what the word is. I'm just puzzled. Women say, well, I want choice. Well, didn't you have a choice to participate in procreation? Does that ever come up in these discussions?
You know, Daniel, this is really interesting. I watched a debate one time with an atheist named Matt Dillahunty, and he made the interesting comment. He said, pregnancy happens to us, not by us. It just happens to us. It's nothing we do. And I thought, what a weird idea. Pregnancy doesn't just happen randomly to people. It happens after sex. And we know that less than 0.5% of all abortions are for rape or incest. And so the overwhelming majority of abortions are after consensual sex. You consent to the action. You don't choose your consequences. You choose your actions and then deal with those consequences in a healthy way. So absolutely, that's very important here. People have confused something. They confuse consent and our actions and our consequences. If you have sex with multiple people, you get an STD, a disease, sexually transmitted disease. You can't just choose not to have that disease, you have to deal with it in a healthy way. The same is true if you have sex and create a baby. The decision is done. Now you need to deal with this in a healthy way, which is adoption or foster care if you're not ready to raise the child, or parenting the child yourself. But killing a child because of your choice is immoral.
Well, it's certainly amoral. I'm agreeing with you. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here. I don't see how anybody could say it's moral. This is moral to be able to give a choice. No, it's amoral at the very least. It's not moral. You know what I'm saying? I mean, at the very least, it's amoral. And it's a situational ethic, and it's a situational truth, and it's a post-truth world kind of decision. And that's what school's been teaching. You want to know why, ladies and gentlemen, you want to know why I rail on public schools all this time and stand on my soapbox and scream about it? This is why. Where do you think these ideas come from? From the time your child's in school, 6 years old, 5 years old, they're teaching them this is a post-truth world. They're teaching them secular humanism. They are teaching them and ready, so when they come out, they believe all this lie about the abortion industry. You can point right to this. Why is abortion legal? Why do people feel this way? Well, because they've been taught secular humanism for 12 years of their life. This is why they think this way. So if you're like, well, what's wrong with public school? It's not so bad. Well, you know, this is the result. This is the result. Now we have a whole generation, a whole country, half of them, who believe this way. Where do you think they got this idea? That's my little rant about that. I can get real mad about a couple subjects real quick, and one of them's abortions and one of them's vaccines, but that's another issue. Let's talk about you.
Go ahead, Seth.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, adding on there, like, you're exactly right. It's so important. And the interesting thing is that our culture, which is clearly amoral now in their worldview, still wants to claim that so many things are immoral, like racism and things like that, that I agree are wrong. But it's interesting watching them try to justify that. If you would reject morals, you have no basis on which to reject to oppose anything as immoral. So it is very interesting watching them try to do that.
Yeah, well, here's what they're saying. And to the mental gymnastics they have to go through to get to that point, they have to say, well, this is not a person, like you said. That's their argument.
Right.
They have to stick with it. That's the only argument that would make sense for them at all.
Right,
and for them
exactly.
to keep their balance of their worldview. It's not a person. It's just something that happens to us. I got a cold, so I took flu medicine. So I took cold medicine. So I got pregnant, so I had an abortion because I didn't want it. I wasn't ready for it. So it's not a person. So, that's how they have to keep the worldview. So then pretty soon, then they pit men against women, obviously, because the woman is the one who carries the baby. So it's the woman's choice. So obviously now, where's the men's choice in this? Well, we got to get rid of that because it's not his body. So it's the women's choice. So now it's the women's choice, and now you have to question gender. Well, there has to be no gender. See where this goes? See where gender fluidity goes, and then population, and then having babies, and then blah, 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 blah. See, now pretty soon it's THX1138 with Robert Duvall, and nobody can have a baby except they get permission from the government. I mean, that's where we go if you keep going down this line. I'm ranting, Seth, but anyway, what do you want to, we got about 8 minutes left. What do you want to talk about in the last 8 minutes?
Well, I would say one more thing on there. What you had just said is there are a lot of men I meet on campuses, and my staff and our volunteers meet men who were denied the choice. They had no choice involved. And one of them was a guy I met years ago at Florida State University, and his girlfriend had told him she was pregnant and had a baby, and 2 weeks later said, you know, I got rid of it. And he for years carried a heavy burden knowing that he was unable to defend his son.
Wow.
He had no idea she was considering abortion. And it's our great privilege meeting men like him or women who regret abortion and pointing to them to the real foundation for hope. If this world is all there is, if there is no God, all these things, abortion and so on, all these crimes are ultimately hopeless. There's no redemption. But our team knows it's our great privilege to tell people, if you feel pain after abortion, that is evidence that it is wrong. And truly, abortion is sinful. It is a sin. But God's grace is greater, and every day on this week and all throughout the year, our team is reminding people of this, that if you believe in Jesus, if you place faith in him, where you've been matters less than who you are today. What you've done is not merely overlooked by God. It was actually punished in the work of Christ himself, and you are today set free. You are forgiven. You are a son or daughter of God. All week long, all year long, we're sharing that. I am seeing many people not only choose not to kill their baby, But many people let go of their heavy burdens at the cross, and that's our great privilege.
What is the overall response from what you're doing? You know, I mean, we've talked about some specific scenarios, but, you know, do you think you're making a dent? Do you think you're making a difference? Are people's minds switching on these campuses? What do you see?
Yeah, so I think it's important to keep in mind, Scott Klusendorf has a book called The Case for Life, a great pro-life manual on how to talk about abortion. A mentor of mine, and he has an important point in there, which is just the change isn't always on the spot. So we recognize that our initial work is to plant a seed of doubt in someone's mind, plant a pebble in their shoe to kind of drive them crazy as they hold their pro-abortion worldview, but now they've seen abortion, they hear our position that abortion is the opposite of equality, it's the opposite of human rights, it's destroying human rights. That pebble drives them nuts, and over weeks and times, we've had people years later say, you know, came to my campus a year ago, I wanted to prove you wrong, I went to the library, I studied, I looked into it, I found out, you know what, you're right, and I'm now pro-life. So we have people like that who it takes a long time to change, but we do track the numbers of people who tell us face-to-face, you know what, you have changed my mind on this. Even though I think it's rare that people admit it on the spot, we do track them, and our staff's about a dozen people, and last year alone we had people face-to-face, about 1,300, who told us they are now pro-life
wow.
after being pro-choice.
Wow.
Imagine if we had a team of 500 across the country. We would see so many changing their minds. We just need more people to join our justice ride, more students to take our tools back to their cities, their hometowns, and we could really flip this country. We could move it to a place that recognizes human rights for all.
We're talking to Seth Dreyer from createdequal.org, and he goes campus to campus and spreading the, I guess you'd say, the gospel of life. That's really what he's talking about. I mean,
yeah.
And confronting the debate head on. The abortion debate. I mean, I'm sure it's not an easy thing to do, and so we commend him and support him and glad to have him on. We talked about America's ready to flip on this. What is your overall sense of that? What is it going to have to take before abortion is greatly restricted in America?
I do think it really requires an informed public dialogue. You know, Daniel, you know the history. You know that abortion was not made legal throughout America after Congress passed something after some robust public dialogue. It was nine men in robes sitting on the Supreme Court who decided throughout our country abortion should be legal, essentially through all 9 months of pregnancy. I think what we need is to continue engaging the courts and engage Congress, but also to turn our public squares, our college campuses, into truly the marketplace of ideas, creating every day putting abortion on trial. By going out to people and asking them, what do you make of this? What do you think of this? Look at this. How does this make you feel to see an aborted baby? And why do you feel that way? If you feel badly about it, should it really be legal? We really need people who are willing to go get themselves out of the comfort zone. I won't reach any of the people. You can reach Daniel, and you may not be able to reach the people I reach, but every one of us has a sphere of influence, and I am confident in the fact that if we are willing to lovingly, graciously show people abortion, talk to them about it, present the evidence, I am confident that we can flip people not only on the small scale, neighbors, friends, coworkers, but start to see a massive shift. We don't have to convert every person, and we won't. That's okay. We need a consensus, enough people who recognize this as a despicable crime, who will vote against it, who will chase Planned Parenthood out of their cities. You don't need everyone. You need the vocal majority. You need the active people who are willing to do what is required to save these lives.
So the people listening now to you, to this broadcast,
yeah.
What would you tell them? What do they need to maybe speak out a little more? What's a little tool you can give them to deal with this discussion?
Very, very good question. I would say one of the best tools you can use, earlier we talked about personhood. Stephen Schwartz, in his book, The Moral Question of Abortion, and later Scott Klusendorf helped to make this more generally recognized and understood, talked about the four differences between preborn humans and born humans. If someone says the fetus isn't a person, you should respond by saying, well, why do you say that? They'll probably say, well, she's not conscious. She's dependent on the mom. And your response should be, you are right that she is different from us. But why do our differences matter? There are only four differences between preborn humans and born humans, and they fall into an easily memorizable acronym, SLED. Size. Preborn babies are smaller than us. Level of development. They're not as developed as we are. They're not conscious yet, things like that. Environment, they're in a very different environment. And lastly, they do depend on their mom. But do these differences make them less of a person? I don't think so, because, Daniel, I have a 2-year-old at home, and she's a lot smaller than I am, but she's equal in personhood to me. She's a lot less developed than I am, but she's equal in personhood. She's home with my wife, whereas I'm down in Florida now in a different environment, but she is equal in personhood. And lastly, though she depends on my wife and I, she's no less of a person than me. These differences describe our age. They describe how old we are, our maturity. They do not define our value. That's a very handy tool to use in conversations.
I think that's fantastic. You know, I got a 1.5-year-old, and that 1.5-year-old's pretty darn dependent also.
Yes, so, absolutely. I believe it.
Well, this is the discussion where now they're saying, well, up to 3 years old, you can kill a baby. I mean, professors are saying that now. I mean, that's where this is going. We got about a minute or so, not even 45 seconds. CreatedEqual.org is the website. How can people support you? What do you need? Do you need volunteers? What?
We need everything. We need people to pray for us because our team, even this week, please pray for our new justice writers who are doing something, putting themselves out of their comfort zone. Pray they would do well. Support us financially. This is only possible through private donors. And yes, please go to createdequal.org. Come join us on a justice ride. We have tools we can send you. You can start doing this in your hometown. We want to help you do what is required to save lives. Contact
Very
us. We'll do what is necessary. Thank you.
Hey, God bless you, Seth.
God bless you, Daniel. Thank you so much.
John Willard coming up. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com today.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the